Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
All right, here we go.
This is Joseph, and you're listening to That Story Show. You ain't that funny.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, how you doing, podcast people? This is That Story Show, where our main purpose is to brighten your day with hilarious real-life stories. This is episode 277. I'm your host. My name is James Kinnison, and my bro host is here.
Hey, I'm David. So happy to be here finally after 4 years.
I know, man. Like... welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you.
It's okay. It's the holidays.
Once again.
John's
it's a holiday. Yeah, it was a holiday. I had a birthday. We have a 3-year-old now, Lydia and I.
Wow, it's been that long, huh?
It's been that long.
Goodness.
Yeah.
What, a 3-year-old grudge? What are you talking about?
Oh, I know it's kind of like that movie where the Interstellar, where he goes down to the planet and he comes back and it's been like 17 years and the poor guy's been sitting there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary. But anyway.
I haven't seen that. But
I'm so glad to be here.
I am too. I'm glad we could make this happen.
I'm glad we finally got John off. Yeah. That was my goal.
That's true. How many years has it been?
It's been a while. It's been a while, and you know what? You ask and you shall receive.
It's old
about
school.
10 years.
This is nobody's listening for reals.
Mm-hmm.
Right here. We always start with an opening story. So here is one called Ear Dysfunction. I always call it something else. Hello, James, John, and David. Sorry, there's no John. We were driving the car, and we were listening to Christmas music on the way home from shopping, and this ad comes on and says, if you are 30 years old or older and suffering from male pattern baldness, you probably also have erectile dysfunction. Quickly changing the station before received any more education, not suited for the younger viewers in the car. Mom spins the dial. And then from the front row of our minivan, my middle school aged homeschooled sister.
Oh no.
Oh Lord. There's too many clips to play for that. She pipes up, hey mom, what the heck is a reptile dysfunction? As this was said, my mom and I turned to each other, locked eyes, and silently willed one another not to laugh. And then my sister chimes in again, using her imagination. Is that where you're bald and your scalp gets all scaly and gross like a lizard? And then she continues in an attempt to be funny. Or maybe it's when your snake and lizard get sick.
Yes, that's it. That's it, little sis.
That's exactly what it is, hon. It's it. A lot of bald-headed guys have problems with their lizards.
There's a stereotype there.
Yeah. So they have to have their lizards looked at by a doctor, and they get medicine to help them with their lizards. So stifling laughter, we listen to more Bing Crosby. And
good.
I stopped laughing, and I thought, I'm going to call it a show. Anyway, good thanks for everything. The show helps me through hard days of college. William Michael. Mitchell.
Good job, Will.
Yeah.
Good job chiming in on that and really catching that one.
Well, saving because, that innocence, you know?
Yeah, because it's so gone so soon now.
Yeah.
And especially on reptile dysfunction.
It's not something people talk about very much.
No, No, right. Because those millennial reptiles are taking over.
Yeah.
And they're defunctionated and demented.
Well, I know I don't have reptile dysfunction. And
I don't think I had. I haven't been checked, but I don't think so either.
My reptile's doing fine, so.
Good.
Just in case you wanted to know.
Next question. How's your reptile?
Yeah, just make sure you check with your friends and make sure they've had
their yearly exam of their reptile.
I almost call it, because it's ear dysfunction, I almost called it ear rectal dysfunction.
And well, my question is, I'm starting to get these on my Facebook.
Okay.
These advertisements for said guys? Reptile. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm only 35. And then he's saying here, if you are over 30, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, talking about getting older.
Dude, I got 5 years till I'm 50.
God bless you. You got a couple more years before you can retire.
Oh, I retired years ago.
Oh, good.
I'm a loser forever. No, you're not. Hey, let's rewind the week. All right. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first because we just talked about getting old, right?
Yeah.
And so this is perfect. This is something you and I talked about. James and I was on the phone and I was talking about, man, I'm getting these like little
skin tags.
Yeah. Skin tags underneath my eyes. They're not bad. You wouldn't notice them, but I notice them as I look at myself every day. And so Dr. James then tells me, oh, just take some snips.
Yeah.
Scissors and cut them off.
Some little fingernail scissors that curve outward.
And baby, I think you actually tell me baby fingernail
baby
scissors.
Baby fingernail scissors. Yeah, they're curved.
It has the curve.
You flip them around to where they cut circular away from your face.
Yes.
You pull that little knob out and you cut that stalk, dude.
And do you know?
1, 2, 3, snip.
No. Do you know what? The funny thing is that your procedures are so accurate to what you told me originally that I had known you've written some policy on this somewhere. how to do this.
It just exists in my head.
Yes. So I get home that night or that evening after I got off the phone with you, and Lydia's home. We ate, and then I go in the bathroom, and then I'm washing my hands, looking at my eyes. I'm like, you know what? I wonder if I have any of those scissors. So the door's closed, locked, fans on loud. So if she does hear my scream, it wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
And I grab them, and I'm the kind of person, like, I don't put alcohol in anything.
Oh, that's dumb.
Okay. Well,
you're supposed to dip the scissors in alcohol.
Well, that wasn't in your policy.
It wasn't in there, was it? I forgot.
Here's my one simple point about Darwinism. If it was correct, I would have been dead a long time ago. You know, I'm just telling you. So I take them and I pull my little skin tag underneath my eye.
No.
I know. And this, because it's myself, but talking about somebody else's, whatever. So I grab it with my left hand. I put the scissors there and I'm like, James, and it's like you were a voice in my head. It'll only sting for a second.
It only stings for a second. Yeah.
Only sting for a second. So I'm like, okay, well, the pain can't be that bad. So I snip it off real fast, and there's blood everywhere.
Oh.
I accidentally stuck it underneath my eye.
No.
No, I'm joking about all that. Anyway, it snipped right off. No, just a little peck of blood. And I've been going around all over everybody's body and snipping them off. I've been asking people at work.
Hey, you want to?
Do you have any skin tags?
Yeah.
I have a 7-step program.
I have a collection, little sandwich bag.
Yuck. My mouth is watering. Not for a good reason.
I'm making a dip for our Christmas party.
Oh, and it's chewy because it's so old. Oh, I'm drinking water, but I'm about to throw up in it. So yeah, I say it did, and I have a couple bigger ones that I want to work my way up to.
So
I'll get there one day.
Yeah, you just put a little dab of toilet paper on it, and like if you cut yourself shaving.
Yes, while you're shaving. Yes,
yeah, and it's all good. You don't need to go to a dermatologist. Now, let me just do a disclaimer here.
No,
that story show is not condoning any kind of medical practice or suggesting that you use scissors on yourself at all. If you do so, you did it because It's your idea and you're stupid like us.
And you're an idiot.
And like we're us, not responsible for any loss of eyeballs or blood or
no
skin tag pate.
But I will send you James's step-by-step PDF.
I got to add something to it. I forgot about the sanitary part. Dude, I've cut them off my armpits, my back, my back of my neck, everywhere.
See, my question is, I never thought about cutting them off myself. So tell me, how did you come to that point where you're...
I didn't want to deal with a doctor.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and a little self-surgery sounded sounded wise for some reason.
Well, and that's one thing I think about too. I am getting older.
I prayed.
You seek the Lord's face?
No, and I didn't. I knew he would say no. Go to the doctor, stupid. That's what he'd say.
Oh my gosh.
That's not how faith works, dummy.
No, you idiot.
Yeah. You don't put yourself out there and just hope I'll just make up the difference.
Okay, tell me yours because we can go on skin tag conversation for the next 2 hours.
All right. So I call my dog Magic Trick. We have a new puppy and I call her Magic Trick because that dog, I swear, can disappear or reappear at will.
Yes.
I'll let her out. I'll call her in the house and nothing. And then I turn around and she's behind me the whole time.
Of course.
Never saw her come in. Well, that happened today, but it was special. It's been a joke. I mean, my wife loves calling her Magic Trick because her name's Leia, but she has a ton of nicknames. One of them's Tiny. One of them's Magic Trick. And, so I take the dogs out. They don't want to go out. It's raining. I kick them down the stairs like a loving dog dad does.
Get out there. Take a shower.
Go freaking get your paws wet, you know, whatever. So anyway, big dog, he's old. He knows the deal. He does his business. He comes back up waiting at the door. Little dog likes to find things to chew on, be stupid, looking around at stuff, thinking about what she can bring in. Because her goal is to bring in the entire backyard one piece of mulch at a time.
Yes, yes.
She brought in half of a bird's nest the other day. It was so gross. I don't know how she does it, but she does. She makes it through. So anyway, she's under the porch. She's wasting time. It's sprinkling. I'm like, come on, let's go. Nothing. Come on, let's go. I'm up the stairs. Come on, let's go. I open the door. Come on, let's go. I notice she has peed by the front door previously. And so I leave the door open. The towels and the wipes and stuff are right there. I never leave the door. I wipe up the pee. I sterilize the pee area as per my wife's PDF. she has instructions too.
For hazmat cleanup.
I never leave the door. I walk back out. I'm like, okay, dog, come on. Come on. You know, whistling the whole thing. I'm like, okay, screw it. Slam the door. And
done.
I start walking toward the kitchen and boom, there's the flipping dog sitting snugged up in her dog bed with like five things around her. Like she's been there for 10 minutes. It startled me. I laughed so hard. I don't know how that dog snuck past me. I was there the entire time. I swear the dog has magic powers.
It's a ninja dog.
It's a ninja dog.
Dog went to Hogwarts before you found it.
She's,
I think
so. She's a animus. That means she's actually a human in animal form.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
But thank you.
But that's weird though. I got a kid living in my house that knows magic. It's not good. So anyway, the only other thing I got is last Monday I went down the stairs. And when I say I went down the stairs, I mean, I went down the back porch steps. And when I say I went down, I mean, I fell down and I weigh a pretty penny. I weigh several hundred pounds of pennies. I weigh about 285 pounds. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many pennies that is, but when you start to go down and fall, it's a big deal.
Yes.
And I grabbed both. It was icy. I grabbed both of the handrails and my hands held, but my body kept going because of all of the motion, all
the,
of
the momentum,
the object in motion tends to stay in motion. So my butt goes down like two steps. My hand, my arms just stretch like freaking Stretch Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm on a, what is it? When you're on a escalator and the escalator arm rest don't move the same speed as the floor.
Oh, yes.
But you're like, I'm going to hold on. And by the time you get to the top, you're like bent in half, you know, somehow stretched out.
Well, yes.
I went down on my, not on my butt, on the area just above at the belt line. Just hit that big thick muscle right there on the corner of a step, slipped down a couple more, and just pulled every muscle from my wrist all the way to my chest and my lower back. And this isn't funny. It's just old people talking about their crap. And I've, you guys are just going to have to make room for old James,
for the reality,
to complain about his old man stuff. Cause I've fallen down several times. There's been several stories. Well, the last one, I don't know if you were on the show back then, but I tripped on a sidewalk, fell straight forward, and rocked forward on my belly. My face touched the ground, and then I rolled back down my belly. My daughter laughed and said I looked like a penguin. That went to slide on the ice and it didn't slide because my legs rolled up behind me like a scorpion tail and I went back down. So I fall gracefully usually. This was not the case. And it was rough. It was rough.
And those you feel like the next day.
Oh, dude, I'm still feeling it. My wrists are still jacked up. And I watch kids fall. I pick up my kids every day from school. Drop them off. I see a half a dozen kids every time fall down, just bust it, just, you know, on the ground, tripping over something, bumping into somebody. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, they get up and they just run. And I'm like, I remember those days. And you just fall and you roll it off and you get up and, oh, I got a scrape. Who cares? I didn't even notice at first, you know?
Yeah.
It only hurt when I noticed. So yeah, it's definitely different now. And I've decided that when it comes my time, I'm not going to die this slow bedside table, family surrounded me kind of death. No, I'll be naked and I'll be stepping out of the shower and they will find me doing the splits. I will look like a scoop of ice cream on a Twizzler. Yes. And they'll just find me humped over all ridiculous.
So how did he die? Well, he died clean. A clean.
He was a clean man, and he drip dried. So.
Poor fella.
It's going to be humiliating, no matter what, because all my business is going to be out, and I don't know. I'll be dead. Everybody's like, I don't care. I'm going to be in heaven. I'll be looking, and I will be embarrassed. They said there'll be no crying there, but they didn't say that we wouldn't be embarrassed. So I fully expect a few angels to be snickering off the side.
Oh yeah.
Ones that were kind of thinking about going the wrong way, but then they said at the last minute, no, let's stay with God. You know, there's gotta be a few angels like that up there that were kind of weighing their, and so they're still kind of bad, but they got away with it. They stuck with the right team. Those guys smoking cigarettes behind the mansion, you know, I don't want to have them.
I don't want those.
Yeah. That's not my guardian angel. I want.
because when we were born, we put it in a quest for a certain type of guardian angel.
I want Dwayne the Rock Johnson as an angel.
Yes.
That kind of guy.
I want if God could ever design the Moana, the demigod.
Oh, Maui?
Yes.
Yeah. What can I say except you're welcome? He would have to sing to you all the time, though.
I work with a guy that looks like that.
Really?
Yes. And we call him that. He's about 4 feet tall, about 5 feet wide, and he is Puerto Rican.
Hmm.
But he looks just like him, long hair and everything.
Samoan dude, huh?
Yeah, he looks. I thought he was Polynesian when I first met him, but then I found out he was from Puerto Rico. So it kind of.
I'm sure he's not offended on a racial basis, and I'm sure you won't get a call from HR.
Probably not. I mean, he probably didn't even know what Polynesian meant, to be honest with you. But so I got away with that one.
It should be counted in the same class as when somebody tries to guess, are you British or are you Canadian? Are you American? I think it's a compliment. You know, I consider it a compliment.
Yes. I always hate doing the pick, the accent.
Yeah.
And this Irish guy came into work. Hey, you know, what part of Ireland are you from? He's like, I'm not Irish. And I'm like, where are you from? He said he was English, but he was so far north of England that he was really close to Scotland. So he was raised in that kind of mixed accent stuff.
Yeah.
And he was so insulted because, you know, the rivalry between Ireland and Scotland and the English and all that.
Okay.
But oh man, he was super ticked. I thought he was going to go complain to me or not complain to me, but complain about.
Yeah, I would have. Well, imagine here in the States, we have just every state has its own stigma. It's known for good things, but it's known for certain kinds of people. Like everyone in Maine is annoying and crazy, for instance. Everyone I've ever met. And if you're from Maine, I'm sorry. You're probably crazy. Maybe not annoying, but they're just weird. And people from Georgia are backward and ignorant and the best people to cook for you ever in life.
Ever.
Florida people are all over the place. There is every kind of Floridian. They're all nuts. They're all doing something stupid. That's all I know there.
Like, hey, hold my beer. Video this.
Alabama, I've never been there. But if somebody asked me if I was from there, I would be offended.
You must be from Alabamies.
Yeah, yeah. Because everyone I've ever met from Alabama, they talk like this. They have an extreme accent where their mouth.
Their whole mouth is a part of it.
Articulates every single possible syllable. And it's amazing actually, but it's a little bit annoying as well. I don't sound like that. And if you told me, hey, are you from Alabama? I'd be like, no, I am not. I am James from somewhere else.
New Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah, I'm from Maine, you dummy. I'd rather be from Maine.
I would, because Florida's like the melting pot of everybody. Yeah. All the Northerners come down here. So, and then they mix within the natives, and then look what happened.
And then South Florida is a whole different country.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's Cuba, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
It's so
Central Florida is snowbirds and rednecks.
Yeah. And then Florida,
what?
Northern Florida is just southern Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard it said anything south of Georgia is not the South anymore.
Well, yeah, I heard that too. And I'm like, pretty country. It's pretty country in Florida.
Oh. All right. Well, those were great. And I have decided that I am really hungry for some skin tags too. So let's do some featured story action here.
Let me tell y'all a story.
All right, so David's going to take the reins. He says he's got some random crap that he's going to squish all together and make us an entertaining segment. So,
it definitely is random. And I started taking notes of everything that come up. And I'm like, that's a really good thing to talk back to being old and getting older and all that. And every time I think of an old man, I think of a old man with his shirt tucked in his underwear inside of his pants.
Oh,
wearing short. Okay.
I don't do that, by the way.
Well, let me tell you something. There's something to it.
My father did. My real dad did. My mom told me. I don't know why she told me that out of all the things I wanted to know about the dad that left me when I was three. That he tucked
his mom.
Here's something demeaning about your father that you can be proud of. Anyway.
So I accidentally did it one time because so here in Florida, when the winters come, I don't rarely ever wear a jacket. I'll layer.
Well, yeah, it's like 73 today where you're at.
So when it got down to the 40s and 50s, I just put an undershirt on my work shirt, and then I would tuck everything in. Well, every time I kept putting everything together, belt and all that jazz, my undershirt would come untucked because it's shorter. It's shorter than my overshirt or my work shirt.
Oh, man, you got to get them extra long tees, dude.
I know.
They're great.
So I said, you know what? There's got to be something to just shove in your undershirt in your underwear. So I did. Okay. I did. And it worked brilliantly until when I am reaching up to grab something off the top shelf, I give myself a wedgie every time. Talking about extremely uncomfortable, something.
You probably look behind you like, what? Who did that?
The devil got me. It was like all day. And then I said, you know what? That's enough. So I went to the bathroom and untucked everything and got everything normal. And then, you know, it's like that wearing that wristwatch for a long time. And then you take it off and you're like, I'm missing something.
Right.
No, I didn't go back and put my undershirt back in my undies, but I did learn a life's lesson that you can give yourself a wedgie without giving yourself a direct wedgie. It was amazing. It was so in there projected that it was very uncomfortable. It felt like 10 grit sandpaper was up between the cheeks. But
man, that's what I need right now.
Yeah. A 10 grit sandpaper?
Yeah. I go to the doctor soon to have my final grape removed, as we've talked about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because this is the show that I'm just going to talk about all my gripes and complaints. But,
yes,
you know, you live with something so long, you just eventually have no shame about it. But, yeah, it's been a long month and a half, and it's terrible. And I can't wait. My surgery is next week. I'm going to be live streaming.
No.
But they're going to put me under, David, and then invert me somehow.
Ooh.
And
live stream it.
Put a wide mouth funnel in there, I guess. Just get it all stretched open and they're going to just figure out what to do. And
they're going to get all up in it. Yeah.
It's
wedgie.
I'll wake up and I'll feel.
Life will be back to normal.
I don't know if it'll ever be normal again.
Well, after that, hey, at least it's like it's really hard. I think me and you've talked about this. It's hard to unsee something. It's hard to forget something.
Yeah.
So it's better. Like I have to go for my colon checkout this year.
Yeah.
And I asked like straight up, more so for my anxiety than anything. You're putting me under, right? And they're like, yes, we'll put you under because
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Well, I survived them not putting me under, and it hurt so bad that I almost passed out, and I literally cried after the doctor walked out because I felt so violated.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, I don't cry, but I cried.
Oh my gosh.
So I said, yeah, you're putting me under and we're going to deal with this that way because I can handle pain. But that was the worst. That was the worst. I don't know what gauge of pipe he put up there. I don't know if there was a threaded end on it. I mean, it was.
Oh my God.
When it came out, it felt like 10 grit sandpaper. But
oh my God. Speaking of doc.
No, wait.
No.
Speaking of scissors.
No.
I told you I'm comfortable talking about things now.
Yes. Yes.
There have been the days where I'm like, I just need to grab that little grape and a pair of them scissors.
Oh my God.
But I'm so afraid that gravity and the amount of red liquid that would ease out of me would be that I might literally kill myself. So
you would, and then you would be coming out of the shower and that's it.
puddle of
cherry syrup.
Yeah. All right. So what were you going to say?
So the So I am now going down to our wholesale accounts for the, they're like in Orlando and about an hour and a half, 2 hours south of us. So I'm out on the road now every Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I see a lot of crazy stuff. See a lot of stuff that I don't normally see in Ocala. Mm-hmm. And they probably have a St. Louis, but they have ER scheduled appointments, you know, like call ahead at a restaurant.
Right. It's awesome.
Well, how is that awesome? Because it's like, what do you do? Like, hey, I'm going to ride the four wheeler right now. Honey, can you put that call ahead about 2 hours from now? You know, like really, like what do you, I don't get it. Like,
All right. When I cut my finger pad off almost completely, my wife called around and found the place with the lowest wait time and she put our name in. And when we got there, we waited maybe 5 minutes and they were ready for us. It's just like putting your name on the wait list and it's like you're already waiting in line before you walk through the door. What? Don't scoff at it. It is awesome.
It does. But to me, my original thought was, who the heck knows
to schedule in advance?
Well, yeah, it's like, hey, you know, I'm going to go ahead and put this one in because me and feeling kind of crazy lately.
Yeah, been feeling kind of crazy.
Like, I just don't. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's
well, yeah,
it's
I see what you're saying. It's like when I was going back down the back steps, there was no way I could have known that soon I would be in need of possible medical attention.
Emergency-wise,
sir,
yes.
Sir, when do you anticipate your accident? I don't know. I'm just not feeling lucky today.
3:47 p.m., 2 days
from now. All right, we'll be ready for you.
Come on down.
Yeah, we'll have the Band-Aids.
I guess it's different when it's like, you know, you chop your hand off, you're automatically put in there.
Well, I think most emergencies are sudden and accidental. Right?
Yes.
Most. So
I guess that proves my point of, you know,
it's not a call ahead service though. It
sounds like it's like a restaurant call ahead, you know, hey, we're on our way. Get the table ready.
How many
Bubba's bleeding out?
How many in your party? Well, he was one man. Now he's two. So
when he put them back together.
Yeah.
So talking about scaring people, there is every morning I get to work. I get to work around 6:30, and there are sometimes the parts are there. My stock's there to check in. Sometimes they're unloading it. Sometimes they're not there at all until a couple minutes later. Well, it was like really much later than normal. So I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs. And backstory is that anytime we know somebody's coming into the parts department, especially the parts guys, we always act like we have our cell phones out and like we're going to pop them as soon as they come in, like fake guns, you know?
What?
As a joke. Like, so if I'm there and then I know one of the other guys that works there, we always try to pop each other, like acting like we have little guns and we're like, oh, I got you, you know, because
do you shoot each other with the phones or are you hitting each other with the phone?
No, we're just acting like we have a pistol in our hand. And then if you can creep up on somebody and get them, then it's kind of like the game we play.
Oh, okay. All right. That's allowed.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm not talking about an active shooter.
Yeah,
like it would be cool to have the Nerf thing, but I think that would be frowned upon. But anyway, so one morning, my stock wasn't there when I get there, and so I'm waiting around, and then I hear somebody outside the door, and I'm like, well, it's the same time for one of the other guys to get there. So I creep out the door. I have my phone in my hand like a pistol. And I come around the corner, and there is our delivery guy with a pallet jack. And he thought that he was about to die.
Because he's not in on the joke, right?
No. And I'm creeping around the corner like a SWAT team. He's leading. I'm all tucked in. And then he looks up. He has a pallet jack and a pallet in front of him. So you know how like a pallet jack, you pull it obviously to pull, but you can push and it won't stop. Like
right.
it, there'll be a little bit more play. So he like stops the pallet and almost falls down onto the pallet. And he's this little dude. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He's like, I thought you were about to kill me. He was like from Trinidad or something. He's like really, really thick accent. I said, I'm so sorry. I thought you were one of the guys I worked with. Oh, he about had a heart attack, poor fellow.
Oh man.
But he hasn't dropped off parts in a while. I don't know.
PTSD.
I don't know. Yeah, he got diagnosed.
I just imagine you becoming a cell phone assassin. You're in your office.
That's it. Boom.
You're opening a black case. You're assembling your phone. You're putting the case on the screen protector.
We should totally do it. I'll definitely get fired on that one.
Putting it on mute so that no one can hear it. You know?
Yes, it'll be silent. Good one, James. Good one.
Hey, I got one every now and then.
So my final, and this has been a year in the making, this one.
Okay.
Last year's Christmas parade in Ocala, we were able, the dealership I worked for, we were able to drive a really fancy car. Mm. Lydia and I drive a really fancy car in the Christmas parade.
That's cool.
And so I told the guy that headed it up, because we're friends, I said, hey, whenever they have it next year, Lydia and I would like to do it again, because it was just super fun. We're in the parade, we're waving at people, we're throwing candy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, cool. So then this year comes along and he doesn't really want to do it. And I'm like, come on, we'll do it. So he kind of set everything up. And then he got an email after emailing the people that he was supposed to email to get the permits to be in the parade. And it was our events coordinator for the dealerships. There's like 16 dealerships and she does all the fundraisers and Toys for Tots and all that. So she sent an email that the city of Ocala sent her that says
what?
That said BMW of Ocala, the three dealerships, are no longer allowed in the parade.
What?
For Ocala. Right. Due to rudeness and what was some other stuff? They just started like really slandering us. So what had happened was, last year, we were just going to be in the parade.
Okay.
Just going around waving and all that stuff. Then all of a sudden, so we're stacked up, ready to go into the parade. And here comes this woman. Like, she looked like a coordinator of some sorts, but she was for City of Ocala. And says, I need the keys to your car and your wife needs to get out of the car because Lydia's sitting in the car. And I'm like, okay, hello, I'm David. Who are you? You know, I was driving. $1,000 car.
You were driving what?
I was driving a $120,000 car.
Yeah.
That I was liable for. My friend was driving a $100,000 car, and then another one was driving like an $80,000 car. I'm not giving the keys to anybody because I'm the one liable for this car. I'm on the clock, and it's all the right way. So she comes up to me and starts saying that, and I'm like, okay, well, hello, how are you? What do you need? To the people that head up the stuff in Gainesville, and that your headquarters in Gainesville. I'm like, okay, well, what's the person's name? Well, I can't remember her name. And then, so this whole plot of you need to give me the car. And I'm like, no,
no,
I'm no. And then she started making like pulling names up of, and I'm like, show me the email. One, our headquarters is not where she said it was.
Right.
Two, she made up a name that nobody that I know within the company, and so she wants and this is what I think what happened. She forgot to get a car for one of the head honchos in the city. And so she's like, I need a car now. You're going to give me a car. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to give you anything. I don't know who you are. And then I was like, I'll help you out and you can put somebody in the car and we'll drive fine. And so that's what we ended up doing. But then they wanted to set some mascot guy on the convertible top, which costs more than what I make in a year, you know? And so I'm like, no. And then the police came over.
Wow.
Because we knew one of the cops. So we started talking to one of the cops. And so all this big story. Okay, so that's what happened. The email that, well, no, the lady that went to go, the coordinator for my dealership went to go get the permits. They told her all this, that we were rude. We were arrogant. We didn't want to help. We were yelling at them. They had to bring the police over, which we knew the police guy. So we were talking to him. So all of this stuff has happened. And everybody associated that was there within the six people or seven people that were there within the dealership and within those three cars that were in the parade, we all witnessed the same thing.
Right.
And so now we call it the Parade Hunger Games because we got kicked out of the parade. And so it was just so nuts how people want to do that and just make up stuff. And I told her, I was like, I don't mind helping you because I'm here anyway. But finding that out, we were all kind of happy because it was such a chaotic event. But it was hilarious that our general manager didn't even come and talk to us because he knew that one, we wouldn't do that.
Right. That's awesome.
We weren't rude and all that stuff, but oh my gosh. And I wanted to be in it just because it's fun. But as soon as I hear that we got kicked out of the Hunger Games, I was kind of sad.
So it sounds like you got the same lady that I got when I went to Disney World one time. I went to Disney World and I tried to get in and I didn't have my ticket with me. And I asked if they could look it up. And she's like, sir, excuse me. She wouldn't let me talk. She's like, sir, yeah, you have to have a ticket. We do not have the reference. And I'm like trying to explain to her how it can actually happen and that she's looking up the wrong name. And she would not. I have news for you. And so and she's from the Netherlands or something, but she's famous on the show. She's Norwegian lady is what we call her.
Yes.
But it sounds like you had her sister there in Ocala.
I did. Yeah. She's in Central Florida.
We need your car right now. No explanation. Just give it to me. I am the boss of the parade.
It was so funny that she was trying to tell me to tell my wife to get out of the car. That's what I think what's irritated me the most because I went into the protective mode. I'm like, one, don't try to tell my wife what to do. She's a grown woman and she will curb stomp you right here if you don't watch out. it was so funny.
This is Ocala. We only let white people in the parade.
Yes, exactly. Get her out of the car now. And then she came German real quick. Yeah. Das Car, go. So that's all I got.
There's an old bumper sticker that says, actually it's probably a printed out Xerox that's been Xeroxed several times. I've seen it in offices that a mistake on your part does not necessarily constitute an emergency on my part.
Yes.
And that's ridiculous that they caused you all these problems. And then she went back and whined and complained about you like you were the problem in the first place. You know, he wouldn't just give me the keys to his $100,000 car, even though I had no credentials and I could have been anyone in the world.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. And she got all butthurt about it. And then, I'm truly surprised that we haven't had a sit down meeting with him. We were representing the dealership.
Yeah. That's messed up.
So,
That's the LBB of the week then.
Definitely.
That's a little louder than I expected it to be.
That was amazing.
But that's our LBB sound from now on. goodness gracious. Well, thanks for that collection of stories. I appreciate it very much. Let's do some listener stories.
Okay.
All right. This one's called The Return and Ending of Dear Dear. I was going to save this for when John came back, and I think I might. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to save it for when John came back. Because last week he told a story, David. I don't know if you heard the podcast about a girl hitting a deer and killing the deer and the deer's baby. And it was his weekly update. And I'm like, John? And I scrolled to the top of the notes. I said, look, it says it right here. This is our show where our purpose is to brighten your day with hilarious real life stories. John, what's going on? So all these people have written in and phoned in to defend him, which I knew they would do. Because everybody's on John's side when it,
of
when,
course,
between him and me, they're going to choose him every time. good luck having a podcast without me, though.
Yes.
All right. This one's called Tardy Club. Hey, James, John, and David. I have a story about the week I was supposed to take my sister to school. You see, we only had one car back then, so for 1 week I had to drive my dad early, about an hour to work, and then drop my sister off at school after that. So Monday began. I was bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to start the week. I don't know what that means, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Mm-mm. I've heard it my whole life.
I don't ever want to be bushy-tailed.
I'm good with bright-eyed, you know. I want to have my eyes alert and clear, but bushy-tailed, no.
No.
I don't want bushes anywhere near my tail. So I was ready to start the week. I dropped my dad off at the morning at work, and then I got on the freeway to head back home to pick up my sister. Things started to look a little funny on the freeway. However, when some of the buildings and signs didn't look familiar, and I saw a sign for the city, I was you are now leaving whatever town.
Oh.
Doggone it. I thought to myself, I had taken the right freeway, just took the west end instead of the east way like I was supposed to. I used to do that when I first started driving all the time. All the time, especially north and south. I'd get confused. Which way did I come from? And then I'd realize it just after the split, you know, just after the fork split.
Oh, so, that's bad.
Anyway, panicking, I turn around, I booked it home, and my sister was not happy as I dropped her off to take her into the office to walk to the office lady to sign a tardy slip. So sister's not happy because she's tardy. That's a big deal, man.
It's a big deal.
They list it on your report card.
Mm-hmm.
My kids, they've been tardy. I mean, it's my fault, and they yell at me. My kids yell at me. Dad, you gotta be ready. It's our time. But then most of the time, I'm ready to walk out the door, and they're late. Do I yell at them? No. You know why? Because I don't give a crap. Whenever they,
it's not on your report.
Y'all
want
to be late? You be late. As I dropped her off, I had to take her into the office, and the next day I had a fresh resolve. I knew where I was going. So I dropped my dad off and picked my sister up, and I was happy to finally get it right until a policeman pulled us over. Wah, 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 wah. Mm. Wait a minute. I have that somewhere. Let's see. Nope. Nope. There we go. Quality podcasting right there. So I picked my sister up. I got it right. The policeman pulled us over. Did you know your taillights were smoked? Which I'm glad he explained what that meant. He says in parentheses, spray painted black. He asked, I did know, but my friend who had swore it was legal. How is that legal? How is that ever going to be legal? Covering your brake lights in plastic dip. I don't get it. Anyway, it obviously wasn't legal. And I grimly accepted the fix it ticket. And I drove my sister to school sheepishly, walking into the office for a second time to sign the tardy slip. Day three. I'd had enough. I was going to get it right today. Dad got where he needed to go, and I was going to be early to get my sister. I wore a confident and smug expression until I got to the Canyon Road. Dun, dun, dun. I think I have one of those. Yeah.
Jeez, please. You're on it.
I'm on it today. I got to the Canyon Road, and then there was a car ahead of me and several cars behind me stuck behind a train track. The train, and I counted, was 100 cars long. I kid you not. Right before that, but before the train completely passed, another train came along from the other direction, about another 100 cars long. I had been defeated. For the third time that week, my sister and I walked into the school office embarrassed and frustrated. It sucked going to that office again. As I went to sign the slip, the office lady who had handed it to me now knew us as regulars. And we were called the Tardy Club. Hope you guys enjoyed the story. Thanks for reading on the show. Trevor from California. Tardy Club. Mm.
Well, the thing is that pops up to me is like, just think about held up, saved from what you did not get involved in a car wreck, a deer running out in front of your car.
So
you know?
You're just trying to turn it into a positive then, huh?
Yeah. I would have been ticked too, but dang.
All right, John, we got another LBB. I'm going to play the song. Okay. That's your go.
Oh, okay. I know you don't do this anymore, but I had to send in my LBB, and it is as follows. My class has to make board games for their end-of-year assessment, and I was in the process of making cards on a website that claimed to make free cards. I had logged in and done everything, and they were going to charge $5 a card. I mean, seriously? Love from Australia, Morgan B. P.S. Metres. I don't know what that means.
Meters.
Oh.
He's just
stupid.
He's just throwing in his Australian stuff. Meters. Ha ha. Ha ha.
Okay, so let's see. So he did all that work.
Right. And then, surprise, if you want them, they're $5 a piece. I've done crap like that.
Oh, yes.
Ugh. Websites. Yeah. LBB of the year. People that...
The internet.
They promise you stuff, and you click on it, and they're still wearing clothes, and it's not even risque. The housewives don't want to get to know me.
No, they don't. A Russian bride wants to marry me.
Yeah, that trick isn't crazy for whiter teeth. There's nothing. No. Anyway. this is called Phone on Bottom. So one day, me and my Girl Scout troop were doing a ropes course at the Cape May Zoo. I had so much fun. I was very tired. We walked slowly to the car, and we were supposed to pack a disposable lunch. So my friend had thrown out her lunch bag earlier before. Here is some background information. My friend cannot live without her phone. Yeah.
Of course.
That's everybody. I went to pick up my daughter without my phone. I felt naked.
Isn't it weird?
I was so scared. I'm like, I'm going to get stopped somewhere. I'm going to get pulled over to the side of the road and not be able to call anybody. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have my phone. I don't have my shopping list. I don't have anything. And then I realized my daughter had her phone. And I was like, okay. And I calmed down.
I want to tell you one thing real quick. Vitamin Water is offering 65 days without a smartphone.
Yeah.
They will pay you $100,000.
If you can go 65 days without a smartphone.
365 days.
Oh, without a smartphone. 365.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Nah, not worth
it. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, smart middle schooler. I had to interject.
It's all right. So as we were walking to the car, she stops. She gets this worried look on her face. And she says, "Where is my phone?" I asked her where she had it last. She says, "Well, I had it at lunch." I immediately sprinted off toward the trash can. This is a good friend right here that she had thrown her lunch sack in. Just to be safe, I peered in other trash cans along the way. They were all empty, and I began to worry that they might have cleaned out all the trash cans.
Oh, no.
Luckily, when we arrived at the trash can next to the lunch table, we saw a brown paper bag inside. The bag suddenly began to vibrate and light up. Yay! I practically gagged, though, when my friend lifted the giant trash can lid off, stuck her hand, and lifted her phone out of the yogurt-covered lunch bag. It had turned out her half-eaten yogurt had spilled in the bag, and due to the warmth of the day, had begun to smell. So that stuff goes bad quick.
Yes, it does.
It's already bad, actually, if you think about it. So to wrap it up, my friend threw out her phone, and we had to retrieve it. Smart middle schooler.
Yeah.
So I really like this story because last week I talked about when I lost my keys, and I was going to tell people about it, and I found the perfect opportunity after this, because David and I, my friend David, drove 3.5 hours down to the Southern Missouri campgrounds for a missions conference thing. And I wasn't involved. I just wanted to go. I just wanted something to do. And so I went, and on the last day he had a big 2-hour meeting, and I sat in the lobby of the hotel in a chair, and I did artwork on my little tablet. It was a great time. Just, you know, it's nice when you can get away like that, because I didn't have any kids to worry about. I had no chores that I needed to be doing. It was just free.
Great trip. Great
free
trip.
Time. Yeah. And so I'm sitting there. He had gone out and thrown all our luggage in the truck. And he comes back after his meeting. And I'm like, it's time to go. And I pack up my bag and I check my pocket. Dude, I don't have my keys. Oh, David. You remember you I don't have them. I gave them back to you. No, no. You took the stuff out and then you went to your meeting. No, I thought I gave, I don't remember now. Oh my
God. It's a horrible feeling.
All right. Well, now we have to go through your entire morning and you know, when's the last time you remember having them on the table at lunch? Okay. Let's go downstairs to the lunchroom. And dude, we're digging through the trash. It's all been replaced. We asked the guys in the back that are washing up and they're like, yeah, everything's out in the dumpster. He says, so, you know, you might have to check out there. So we first go back and retrace all our steps, looking up at the carpet. We sat and David even, he took the seat out of the cushion out of the seat I was sitting in and he ran his hands along the seams, you know, there underneath, where the arm tucks down in, he put it back. He flipped the chair over and wiggled it and all this kind of stuff. Nothing. I'm like, David, I swear you didn't give them to me. He's like, all right, then we need to go check because the last time I remember having them was on the table, maybe. So luckily, all the trash bags that in the dumpsters that we had to jump into, luckily they were all clear and we could pick out the breakfast ones. They had orange juice boxes and biscuits in them and a lot of gravy that was smushy. And then there were the lunch bags and we pulled them all out of the trash can. David actually is the one that jumped in. I was on the outside and I'm digging through with my hands. It sometimes you try to keep your hand clean and other times you're like, I can wash it later, you know?
Yes.
And this was definitely one of those times. We're 3.5 hours. We're talking about, you know, already discussing options. We either have to have somebody drive 3.5 hours down to meet us with keys, which is going to be time and energy and gas money.
Oh, wait. Your car with him?
My truck.
Oh my God, James, I didn't know that. This has gotten 10 times worse now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're
both together and we can't even stay the night because our stuff is locked in the dumb truck. We are totally screwed, man. And so I'm digging. That's why I'm like, I can wash my hands later because I'm digging through lettuce. We had hamburgers, tomatoes, patties, tons of unused buns and cookies and all kinds of condiments and napkins and probably scabies and God knows what else people have in their mouths. I don't know what scabies are or what they do, but if they're in your mouth, that's gross. But to no avail, we put everything back in the trash can as a common courtesy.
And well, you should.
And it was funny because on the way there, I'd been telling David about my prayer life. I'm like, David, I have been praying more lately because I have simplified my prayer life. I said, I don't know if this works. I wouldn't suggest it to anybody. But now I just say what I need to say. And that's it.
Yes.
And if I need to say it more often, I just repeat what I said. And so it kind of sounds like chanting almost, David. I said, but I feel like I pray more because I'll just be like, God, please help my wife's job. God, please bless my wife and help her at her job. God, please help my wife's job. Please, please. And that's kind of what I pray, you know?
And
I don't do like I used to. I used to try to put on a performance like, dear Lord, I come before thee today. And I beseech thee in thy great wisdom to bless my wife in her employment. Here are several ideas on how you can do that. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but please, maybe you could fire that one lady and make her fall down a cliff. Or perhaps you could bless her to overcome the annoyance of that one said lady. You know, I had all these ideas. Now I just trimmed the fat and it's just, I ask. I say all that to say, we were downstairs. We were all out of options. I said, God, please help me find my keys. This should be easy for you. Just help me find my keys. So I'm like, I'm going to retrace my steps. And as I'm retracing, the thought comes to my head, thick as snot. It says, you sat in that chair for 2 hours, wallering around, you know, shifting your weight, moving your legs back and forth and back and forth. David did a precursory look inside the crevices of that chair, but I should go up there and I should try one more time. So I did, you know, I went up there and dun, 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 there's 500 teenagers sitting in the lobby and one of them's sitting in the chair. All right. I don't want to deal with a bunch of MK teenagers and be like, hey, man, can you move? Because I'm looking for keys. So I just didn't feel like dealing with that teenager crap, because they were just very proud of themselves over there being happy and teenagery. And but not 30 seconds later, all of them get up almost like they're in a trance and they walk out all together. And the whole lobby is suddenly empty. And I go to the chair. I lift up the couch cushion. I stick my hands down the sides, nothing. But then my hand, as it's going forward, falls down a little bit. There's a hole. There's a hole down there in the upholstery. And I stick my hand down there and I wiggle my fingers, and my finger just brushes the frayed end of my library keychain card. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I grab the keys and retrieve them from the core, the inner workings of this daggum chair. Prayer works, people. There's no way I would have found those things. Never, ever. They would have been there for 10 years and no one would have known. They'd have thrown that chair out and never heard those keys in there. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't know. That's why. Awesome. Why did I say all that again? Oh, because she stuck her phone in a bag of yogurt. I forgot.
That was the segue.
I just hope that was a blessing to you and just help your faith to just and
strong.
I hope stronger. It messed up your prayer life. And I'll read this last one. This is called Church Name. Hi, my name's Jed. I'm 30 years old. I just found your podcast and I love it. And I was listening to the story John told about people filling out application papers for background checks, and it reminded me of a story of my dad from when I was a kid. My dad is a very godly and sincere man who teaches and knows a lot of scripture, but he doesn't take himself too seriously where he can't laugh at himself. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. We're just country folk who love Jesus. But the church we went to had a particular denomination. And then that denomination was putting on a statewide men's service, and the men who wanted to come had to fill out an informal form of name, street, church, and et cetera. The reason for that, I don't know, but I remember passing my dad's room as he was filling out that paper and him getting a little upset because he messed up, and he knew he had messed up. Here's what the paper asked. Church name. He wrote in Brother Lee, which is what everyone called him at church. Once he wrote that, he realized that they were actually asking him to know what church he went to and was affiliated with. He began laughing at himself, and he was embarrassed that he would have to explain why he needed another form to his buddies at church. That was a long time ago, and it's still a joke around our family and our church. Keep up the good work, making my day better with your stories. Hope y'all get a laugh out of mine like I do yours. Jed from Kentucky.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Great story. Good one to end it on. That's what I say. Oh, man. Thanks, David.
Thanks, man,
for being able to record today.
Yeah.
It went by quick. I feel like it did, even with my very long key story, which I realize now could have been a featured story, but whatever. It wasn't it's that okay. good. Hey,
why people love us.
That's true. It's true. We're random. Send in your stories to thatstoryshow@gmail.com or call them in at 2095-NLCast. Thatstoryshow.com is our website. You can follow us on Twitter at thatstoryshow. Review us on iTunes. If you want more great shows, visit nlcast.com. Thanks to our patrons for your support. And special thanks to producers Jennifer Kennison, Carrie Wright, Zane Estrada, James Spangler. Become a patron today at patreon.com/nlcast. Hey, and remember, when something weird, crazy, annoying, boring, whatever happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show, and then that'll be awesome.
Yes.
People wanted ideas for shows at the end. So here, do you have any stories about skateboards? Do you have any stories about broccoli? Do you have any stories about refrigerators? How about times you've drank water? Have you had any girlfriend troubles? How about job interviews? Have you ever fallen down the back of your stairs? Have you ever had a grape? Have you ever done any self-surgery? These are all great story ideas, and you can send them in. So till next week, this is me and David. We're saying goodbye. We miss you, John.
Bye. Yeah, John.
Peace out.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.